of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray, God, that you'd bless the reading of your word tonight. And God, may we, completely trust you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the biggest issues we deal with as Christians is doubt. About 4 or 5 years ago, and when I was reading through the book of Psalms, I went through the book of Psalms, and it just, I don't know why it did that particular year, but that particular year, the word trust really stood out to me throughout the book of Psalms. It's amazing how many times in the book of Psalms it speaks about trusting in the Lord, or they trusted God. And as Christians, we need to absolutely depend and trust on the Lord and everything, and not doubt Him. And that's what we see here in this particular passage. Hebrews 3:12 warns us, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And again, the word unbelief there is speaking of doubt. Be careful lest that unbelief or that doubt get into your heart when it comes to your relationship with God. And God is someone who can be trusted. He can be depended upon. Others may fail you, and they will. Family will fail you, friends will fail you, co-workers, neighbors, whatever it is, mankind will fail you, but God will never fail you. He'll never let you down. Satan works in this way in creating doubts in the hearts of all of us, and it's one of his big tools. In fact, maybe his biggest one, as he gets in there and helps us, or not helps us, but creates within us that doubt. Maybe just a small seed of doubt, but boy, it can grow into a big tree. So four things here tonight, very quickly, about doubt. So and concerning Eve, it says, all right, verse 1, Satan wanted her to doubt the word of God. Satan wanted her to doubt the word of God. Now the serpent was more subtle. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of the tree of the garden. Again, Satan asked Eve the question, hath God said, getting her to doubt. He was wanting her to doubt the very words of God. The very words of God. And Satan will do the same to us. He'll want you and get in there and have you doubt. But can we remind you that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed book. This is God's Word to us. God's written Word to us. And I don't know about you, but if God can lie, He's not God. That's what Hebrews says. And so when God gives us His Word, it's His Word, and it can be trusted. And we live in a day and age in which the Bible is being, the Bible is under suspect from the social, the social world today, from the from every angle. And can I remind us as Christians, we can depend upon the Word of God in every area of our life, every area. It speaks about it being profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, the Bible helps us to know what is right and what's wrong and how to get right and how to stay right. The Bible is our roadmap for life in raising kids. I'm just amazed as I was at lunch today and saw little Archer come by and how big Archer Goble's getting and how big Nathan's, got. It's just amazing how fast these kids grow up. I'm blown away at this stage of my life to see kids that were 3 and 4, now they're 16. And I've been their pastor all their life, some of them, and it just amazes me. And can I remind parents tonight, grandparents, the best parental guide you can have is the Word of God. Man's books cannot be trusted. They may help, and there's some good writers out there, but the Bible alone can be trusted implicitly in instructing you how to raise your family. The Bible implicitly can be trusted in how to handle your finances and keeping yourself out of debt and paying your bills on time and working for what you make. The Bible can be trusted in every area of our life. And so the devil will make you doubt that. He wants you to doubt the Word of God. You say, well, I haven't really. Well, have you? You know, have you gotten in a situation where you were in a bind and you said, I wonder if God's going to do it? Well, God said He would. He said He'd supply all your needs. Do you believe that or don't you? Amen? So the Word of God can and should be trusted. So not only is the Word of God profitable, but it is powerful. It's dunamis, it's dynamite, it's powerful, it's alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we won't go over there, but the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a powerful book. It's a book that is a living book. I was reminded this week, as we were talking to my oldest son about reading. And when I was in about ninth grade, I got to reading Louis L'Amour books. And there's over 100 of them, and I read most of them in high school and began to really enjoy reading those books. They were very good, and I would recommend them to anybody. He's a good writer, and he's a clean writer. And so, anyway, that's a whole other story. I won't chase that rabbit. I feel like it, but I'm not going to. A good writer. But you know what? As vivid and as great a picture as Louis L'Amour can draw with words, his book isn't alive. It doesn't bring life. This word brings life. The Word of God, sharper and powerful. And so remembering the Word is not only is it profitable, but it's powerful, and then it's practical. Romans chapter 15 says it's written for our learning. Corinthians says it was written for our understanding and for our learning, for our to be an example to us. You know, the story of Samson is in there to teach us life lessons. The story of whomever, you pick any Old Testament character, David or whatever, their stories are in there. Many times the stories do not shed good light on that character, but that character is there to teach us, to be an example for us, that we might learn from those stories. And so the Word of God is profitable, it's powerful, but it's very practical. And the code word today is relevant, and that is the right word. The Word of God is relevant today. It's just as relevant today as it was 50 years ago. It is. It absolutely has everything you need, and again, I'm repeating myself, to guide you in this life and the life to come. Amen? The Word of God. So we see first off that Satan began to get or try to get Eve to doubt God's Word. And may we not do that. May we always trust in the Word of God. I remember knocking doors years ago, and one of the very first things we would ask, we'd do a little Bible survey, and we would ask the question, do you believe the Word of God to be the inspired, inerrant Word of God? Well, 25 years ago, people kind of understood what that meant, and today it's kind of different, but the Word of God is the inspired, inerrant, the very words of God. It can be trusted. It alone can be trusted. Number two, we think about Satan also wanted her to doubt the honesty of God. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. So he wanted her to doubt the Word of God. He wanted her to doubt the honesty of God. Chapter 3, verse 4 says, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. In other words, God's not being honest with you. You're not really going to die. God said, but Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, look there with me, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God said, you're going to die. You're going to die. Of course, we understand that's speaking of physical and spiritual death, both. So Satan claimed differently. He said, you're not really going to die. He began to try to get her to doubt the honesty of God. Psalm 145, we won't turn there, but speaks about the righteousness of God. In other words, that God is right, that He's always right. Psalm 119 speaks of God's judgments always being righteous or always right. And we think about 1 Peter chapter 1, which most of you would be familiar with that, where Peter says, we did not follow cunningly devised fables, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He said, this book is not a fairy tale. The story of Jesus Christ is not a fairy tale. We witness the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We witnessed the miracles He performed. We witnessed His ascension into heaven. We witnessed what Jesus did. God is always honest because He's God. He's always trustworthy. And under this point, when you are trying to get someone to doubt the honesty of God, many times it's because, well, here he's trying to get her to say, think that God's withholding something from her. Can I just tell you, God always has your best interest in mind. Anything that comes into your life, whatever it may be, whatever trial it may be, whatever thing you may be going through, God is righteous. He always does right. God always does right. He knows what lies beyond the bend. My wife's fancy Kia. That word's hard to say. Kia. My wife's Kia. It's the fancy one. So when you turn the wheel, the little headlights move. Like that extra inch is going to help anything, whatever. But even with the little fancy headlights that move when you turn the wheel, you can't see around the corner. You can't see around the corner. God can see around the corner. God knows exactly what lies beyond the bend. God knows exactly what's going to happen to you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God knows the beginning from the end. And so, absolutely, we should not doubt the honesty of God. And along with that same point, we shouldn't doubt the goodness of God. God is good. God, again, always has our best interest in mind. And we see in verse 5 that Satan wanted her to doubt the goodness of God. Look at verse 5, chapter 3. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Again, Satan tried to make Eve think that God was withholding something good from her. But in reality, God was protecting Eve. God was protecting her. Can I remind you that God, again, always has your best interest in mind. And what you think may be something that's being withheld or something that's happening to you, and maybe you're doubting, listen, God knows, again, God knows tomorrow. And therefore, He has your best interest in mind. God knows exactly what's going to happen to you. We should not doubt the goodness of God. God is good in all of His ways, Psalm 145 says. John 3:16, God loves the world. God loves you tonight. He displayed that love on Calvary. If He loves enough to die for you, then surely He loves you enough to, you can trust Him for tomorrow. 1 John 4:10, all these verses speak about God's goodness. And lots of good songs about the goodness of God. I'm thankful that God is good and that He's good all the time. That we should be thankful in the good times and the bad times because God is always good. Lastly, we think of Eve. Not only did Satan get her to doubt the Word of God, to doubt the honesty of God and doubt the goodness of God, but he wanted her to doubt the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. We serve and have an all-wise Creator. Right? The whole passage implies that Satan was challenging how wise God really is. Satan still tries to get us to doubt today. He wants us to doubt the Bible, and he wants us to doubt that the Bible tells the truth. The Bible can be trusted. Our God can be trusted. And no matter what you may be going through, our all-wise Creator knows everything. Romans 11 and James 3 all touch on this, as well as the prophets. Who can teach God anything? No one teaches the Creator anything. He knows everything. He knows everything effortlessly. Effortlessly. You know, if I'm going to learn a subject, I have to study it. I have to read it. I have to learn it, whatever the case is. And it takes some time and effort. But see, God knows everything effortlessly. He knows everything about computers. I don't know. Computers, to me, just they get me. And it's one of those areas I have no desire to really learn. You have areas like that? I just have zero desires to learn about computers. And I was the when I was in high school is when the public school first put computers into the classroom, and they had a computer program. They had a computer room. We had computer class, and we had the old 286s and 386s, and they were networked. I mean, it was fancy. Bowie High School, town of 5,000, fancy for a small town. Learned DOS and all that stuff and learned to write program and in high school, you know, and I can't remember none of it now. But, you know, I bought my first computer right out of high school, bought a Packard Bell 386, $1,500. It's amazing how computers, you know, the systems went, got cheaper and cheaper as time went on. But boy, I was sure glad to have it in college and when I was writing papers and doing those things. But I enjoyed at that time learning about computers. That was kind of it wasn't particularly new per se, but new as a mass, as affecting everybody. But I never could learn everything about computers. And now I don't want to. But God knows everything. I noticed that at the lunch table today, I don't know, 1 or 2 year old. How old is your grand boy, Brother Clark? One? You know, had a phone in his hand, and they know how to turn them on at 1 year. You know, 1 year old, they already know how. It's amazing. They're going to grow up with that, right? It's amazing. All that to say, God knows everything. God knows everything about math and science. God knows how to build a 100-story skyscraper. God knows everything, and He knows it effortlessly. Imagine the amount of time you had to spend to learn your job. God knows all that effortlessly. And then whatever God does, whatever energy He expends, it doesn't take away from Him, His power. He's just as powerful as when He started. It's just, the thought just amazes me. God is an all-wise creator. He knows everything from beginning to end. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. We must not doubt. The doubt is Satan's tool to discourage you and defeat you. Don't allow Satan to get in and discourage and defeat you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. By the way, you fall where you lean. You lean where you fall, right? Wherever you lean is where you fall. Listen, lean into not into your own understanding, but to God's. Because my understanding is limited, but God's understanding is limitless. God knows everything. Everything. Again, don't allow Satan to use that tool against you. Trust in the Lord. So maybe this week you needed to hear that. Just trust God. Trust God. Because He can be trusted. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and the encouragement tonight. We pray, God, that You just help us going forward this week to put our trust in You. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight who's doubting Your goodness, doubting Your honesty, doubting Your wisdom, God, may You undergird them and strengthen them by way of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to live victorious lives this week as we go forward. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you just a couple of announcements reminding you, of course, Vacation Bible School this week. I hope